¿Sabías que puedes ayudarnos a producir nuevas temporadas de nuestros podcasts y audioseries? En Estudio 80 ya tenemos a la venta una nueva serie de audiolibros que están basados en nuestros podcasts y que fueron producidos de manera totalmente independiente por nosotros. Tenemos audiolibros de muchos géneros: comedia romántica, terror, crímenes reales, comunicación y lingüística, comida, estilo de vida, historias de migración y mucho más. Varios de ellos están disponibles en español, inglés, italiano y francés. Conoce nuestro catálogo en 80estudio.com/audiobooks y encontrá los títulos en libro.fm, Apple Books, Google Play, Storytel, BookBeat y en tu aplicación de audiolibros favorita. Muchas gracias por tu apoyo. Hi everyone, and welcome to 80 Cuentos, a Latin American anthology with audio tales coming from all around the region. I'm Maru Lombardo, your host. And today's story comes to us from Lima, Peru. This is a story about the power of feminism and resistance. Here goes Mother Fire, created by Vanessa Valencia Ramos and Ángela Mesa Echegaray.
It started like this.
I am light. I am intensity. I am good energies. I am strength. I am rage. I am motivated. I am change. I, a woman, I called you, Mother Fire. I open the door and I invite you in. Mother, come and help us. Mother, come and help us.
The day of the march came, and with it the awakening of the city. So did I awaken as well, and I fed on all that was going on around me, on the murmurs and people spreading the voice. I was guided by the voices of the protesters, and in that march towards the encounter, I became enraged by what I heard. Two weeks later, the hurt was stained with blood. Three sisters and three brothers of the woman that summoned me had been murdered in the first days of the year. Six lives were taken, and no high officials wanted to take action. As I kept on listening, I noticed they were asking absurd questions, pointing fingers at these people, insinuating that they were to blame for their murders. And with each passing minute, I empathized more with the pain of the protesters. I arrived to the city along with a group of women. I, having this ability to become as big as a building or as small as an ant, could see over everyone's heads. There were not one, not two, but hundreds of people gathered. Clearly, this made the people in power uneasy. The police surrounded the protesters, protected by clothing that the people couldn't have. The order was clear. The police didn't want to hear them raise their voices. They hated that the people were complaining so much about something that did not touch those in power, that did not hurt them. For the voices and the arengas were shaking the city, and something as powerful as that, they could not bear. A nation that turned its back on them, wanting them to be silent and quiet, only to instrumentalize them for their campaigns and to forget about them when they came to talk about their problems. Mobilized by a new rage, I helped the people close the streets, positioning myself at the beginning and end of it, making way for anyone who wanted to join the march and raise their voice. But standing firm and guarding them every time a policeman wanted to intimidate against the people gathered. Above the voices of the protest, I began to hear other murmurs of people who were not familiar with the case and who were just learning about it, thanks to the claims being shouted by those attending the march. There were some other voices that I did not understand, that tried to look for culprits in the victims. However, the great majority of the citizens were indignant. I stopped paying attention when I felt the call of a second voice. It was another woman, the years reflected on her skin.
How things change, don't you think, Mother Fire? Back in my days, if this happened to a woman, they used to tell her to keep quiet, to not make too much trouble.
To keep in mind.
To keep in mind that dirty laundry should be washed at home. I'm glad that now that's changing. That justice is being demanded because things can't stay that way, Mother Fire.
I took her hand as a way of reassuring her that she was not alone. With new energy, she continued speaking.
It used to be different before. We were afraid to go out and demand justice. Before, there were fewer of us. We were not listened to so much, but look now how many of us are here. We're not afraid anymore, not anymore. Something must be done because we never get justice, Mother Fuega, and we are tired of it. They keep killing us. They kill us because they love us, they say, because we are bad to correct us. I can't march much either. My leg is bad. But from my house, there, I put up a little sign at least. A sign for you, Mother Fuega.
I noticed how the lady was going back to her house, with two more women who were helping her to place the sign she had told me about on the door. I noticed how some of them did not march, because they no longer had the physical strength to do so. Like that older woman. But I could still see their desire for change and their desire to support in any way they could. With many, many more people conglomerating, some pots and wooden ladles, they began to shout their protest as we began to mobilize. A few meters passed until the situation became violent. The police was not happy as we kept advancing all the way to Congress. And these people in power insisted on not listening to us. They felt that the protest was taking authority away from them. It was all chaos for a prolonged moment. People screaming from inside the protest or running for cover. I was trying to make out what was going on around me, but it was impossible. I didn't quite know what happened. For even for me, it's hard to distinguish among the chaos. What brought me back was the woman who had called me, now holding my hand.
Mother Fire, help us, please! They're taking everything from us! They're taking away our hope!
With people no longer running all over the place, some making a fence with their bodies to protect something on the ground, I could see what was going on. With their eyes closed, three girls lay on the ground, like those being forced to rest. They had holes in their chests. The government stained the streets with blood. I was crying. The helplessness of not being able to do anything left me paralyzed for a few seconds. The murderers disappear into the shadows, guarded by their fellow policemen. Embraced by politicians who didn't want to listen to the bad job they were doing. My body was burning, but it didn't compare to the fire brought in my soul. The pain and rage multiplied. I promised myself that even without their summoning, I was still going to be there. I want to continue this path for their freedom. My embers keep the protest company. And embrace the empathy of my daughters. After that, it started to rain. The sky was also mourning those murders. While walking the streets and seeing more injured people, I knew this was not the end of anything. So consumed in my thoughts I was, I didn't realize that I had reached the beginning of an avenue and that in front of me stood the woman who called me to be part of the march.
Don't forget to check out the Spanish version of this episode, called Monólogo de la Fuega. You can find it in our podcast feed as well. This story was created by Vanessa Valencia Ramos and Ángela Mesa Echegaray. Vanessa is a radio producer from Peru, and Ángela is a journalist and feminist activist also based in Peru. Motherfire was voiced by Kiera Santella. Additional voices by Maru Lombardo and Lucia Mendivil. Jeremias Juarez made the music and sound design for this episode. You can check out transcripts for her stories at ochentastudio.com/80-cuentos. I'm Maru Lombardo. This is 80 Cuentos. Thank you for coming, and of course, thanks for listening.